Hi again, Ashley here of Fraxinus Business Associates with another podcast for you. Let's kick off with a simple question. What exactly is a quality management system, or QMS? You might picture a dusty binder on a shelf, but in reality, a QMS is the living, breathing framework that keeps an organization's quality in check. It's more than just a quality manual. Think of it like the operating system for your business, orchestrating processes so everyone delivers consistently excellent products or services. Two key terms here are process, the interlinked steps that turn ideas into outcomes, and quality manual, which records your unique way of doing things. Without a strong QMS, you're essentially flying blind, hoping for quality, but unable to prove or improve it. Sound familiar? Don't worry, by the end of today's episode, you'll see how each element fuels business success. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, isn't this just bureaucracy? Well, let me assure you, when you break it down, a QMS is your best ally for growth and reliability. Let's dive deeper. Ever heard of the PDCA cycle? It stands for Plan, Do, Check, Act, a continuous loop that keeps your QMS humming. Imagine it like a feedback loop in your favorite software. You plan your strategy, do the work, check the outcomes, and act to make improvements. If you've ever wondered why some organizations seem to constantly get better while others stagnate, odds are they're using PDCA under the hood. Two terms to know are continuous improvement, always looking for ways to get better, and feedback loop, which lets you adapt in real time. So, next time you spot a recurring issue, ask yourself, where's my PDCA cycle breaking down? The answer could be your ticket to higher quality. Let me tell you a story. A small security firm used PDCA to halve its response times. The secret? Relentless checking and tweaking, not just hoping things would work out. Have you ever tried solving a problem without looking at the bigger picture? Clause 4.1 of ISO 9001 pushes us to step back and understand our organization's context. What does that mean? Well, context covers everything inside and outside your business that can make or break quality. Think of internal issues as your company's DNA culture, structure, and values, and external issues as the weather outside, regulations, competitors, or economic shifts that you can't control but must adapt to. If you ignore context, you risk being blindsided by change. Now you might ask, but what if I already have processes documented? Good news, much of your groundwork is transferable, but you need to document what matters now, not just what mattered before. Let's play a quick game. Who actually matters to your business? Customers, sure. Employees, of course. But what about regulators, suppliers, or even competitors? Clause 4.2 says you can't deliver quality unless you recognize all your interested parties. This isn't just a checklist. It's a dynamic map of everyone who can influence or be influenced by your organization. Two technical terms. Stakeholder analysis, figuring out who those parties are, and requirements gathering. What do they actually want from you? Ignoring this step is like building a house without asking the owner what color they want the walls. So, next time you review your QMS, ask, whose voice am I missing, and what might it cost if I keep missing it? Have you ever tried to fix everything at once? Spoiler, it doesn't work. Clause 4.3 is all about setting the scope of your QMS, defining exactly what products, services, and processes it covers. Scope is a technical term here. It's the fence you put around your quality efforts, including any exclusions. Another key concept, applicability, making sure your standards fit your real-world operations. Imagine you're a security installer. Do you cover only alarms or also fire detection? The clearer your scope, the easier to manage, audit, and improve. Don't be afraid to draw lines. Ambiguity is the enemy of quality. And if you're thinking, won't this limit me? No, it actually frees you to focus and excel. Let's dig into the process approach. Clause 4.4's big idea. Instead of managing isolated tasks, you map and manage interconnected processes, chains of activities that turn inputs to output. The technical term here is process mapping. Think flowcharts, swim lanes, or block diagrams. Another term, operational control, the levers you use to keep processes on track. Now you might be thinking, but do I need to document everything? Not quite. The aim is to capture the essentials. What's the input? Who's responsible? How do you measure success? A well-mapped process is like a GPS for your team. Everyone knows where to go and what to do. Miss this step and you'll end up with confusion, errors, or missed opportunities. Here's a question. Who's responsible for your QMS? Clause 5 says loud and clear it's top management. But what does leadership and commitment really look like? It means leaders are hands-on, not just delegating, but actively promoting quality culture and driving improvement. Two terms to remember: accountability, ownership for results, and strategic alignment, making sure quality fits your business goals. Now, maybe you're thinking, can't I just assign this to someone else? Not when it comes to setting direction or motivating your team. The most successful companies I've seen have leaders who walk the talk, reviewing objectives, celebrating wins, and fixing problems before they spread. Without this, a QMS is just paperwork. Let's flip the script. Do you merely meet customer expectations or anticipate them? Clause 5.1.2 zooms in on customer focus, and it's more than just ticking boxes. It's about understanding the law, what your customer wants, and spotting opportunities to exceed those needs. Two key phrases: voice of the customer, capturing direct and indirect feedback, and customer journey mapping, seeing things from their perspective. If you're just reacting to complaints, you're late to the game. Let me share an example. A company that documents every customer preference from first inquiry to after sales calls. The result? Happier clients, fewer surprises, and new work streams opening up organically. That's customer focus in action. Do you wait for problems or plan for them? Clause 6 is all about risk-based thinking. The technical term here is risk assessment, identifying what might go wrong, and its partner, opportunity management, spotting chances to do things better. Here's the conflict. Risks can paralyze you, but ignoring them can sink you. The resolution? Prioritize, plan, and build in safeguards, staff training, contingency plans, even a plan B if suppliers let you down. I know what you're thinking, but can we plan for everything? No, but by anticipating the big issues, you're a step ahead and ready to turn potential threats into growth opportunities. Let's talk about goals. Do you set targets like improve quality, or do you go smart, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, time-bound? Clause 6.2 insists on the latter. Imagine you're promising a 4-hour response for alarm repairs. Can you staff, resource, and track it? That's your service level agreement, SLA, and it's only possible if your objectives are clear and your resources match. Another crucial term, performance indicator, the metric used to measure success. If your goals aren't smart, you'll never know if you've truly improved. Direct question. Could everyone on your team explain your top 3 quality objectives? If not, it's time for a reset. Ever felt stretched too thin? Clause 7 addresses the resources your QMS needs: people, infrastructure, tools, and knowledge. Two technical terms: resource planning, making sure you've got what you need when you need it, and competence matrix, mapping skills to roles. Now, picture you win a big contract. Do you have enough trained engineers, or do you need to outsource? That's where resource planning meets reality. And don't forget about the environment. Safe, supportive workplaces lead to better outcomes. When support is lacking, even the best plans fall apart. Ask yourself, if a key team member left tomorrow, would your QMS keep running smoothly? If not, it's time to shore up your support systems. Does your documentation drive improvement or just gather dust? Clause 7.5 insists you treat documented information as both shield and sword. It proves compliance and helps you spot where to improve. Two terms: document control, keeping records accurate, accessible, and secure, and traceability, being able to follow a process or product from start to finish. Don't let paperwork become a burden. Integrate it into your workflow. For example, a sales process that auto-generates records not only speeds things up, but provides real-time compliance evidence. And here's the clincher. Well-managed documents protect sensitive info from leaks and misuse. The best QMSs make documentation a competitive asset, not a chore. Let's bridge planning and reality. Clause 8 is about operational control translating strategy into action. The technical terms here are workflow management scheduling, resourcing, and instructing teams and change control, tracking updates or deviations. Imagine issuing a new risk assessment for every installation, or or assigning a manager to every client. It sounds like overkill, but in practice, this ensures jobs are done right, customer expectations are met, and problems are flagged early. You might ask, isn't this micromanagement? Not if you apply it smartly. Think of it as quality by design. When you connect planning and delivery, your QMS becomes a real engine for reliability. How do you know if your QMS is working? Clause 9 says, measure, monitor, and analyze. Two key terms, key performance indicators, KPIs, which are your scorecard, and internal auditing, your diagnostic checkup. It's not just about collecting numbers. It's about using data to ask, are we meeting our objectives? Are customers satisfied? Where are we falling short? Picture a dashboard tracking response times, customer complaints, or compliance rates. If you're not acting on this data, you're missing out on improvement. Let me ask, when was the last time you turned a negative trend into a positive change? Your answer reveals the true health of your QMS. We've come full circle to Clause 10 and continual improvement. This isn't just a tick box, it's the heartbeat of your QMS. Two final terms. Root cause analysis, digging deep to solve problems and lessons learned, capturing insights for the future. The conflict? Organizations that rest on their laurels soon fall behind. The solution? Use your data, audits, and customer feedback as springboards. I once saw a company reduce complaints and costs by automating their reporting, simple but transformative. Now, you might think improvement means sweeping changes, but sometimes it's the little things, clarifying job roles, updating a checklist, that yield the biggest gains. So, what's your next step in this journey? Check out fraxbiz.com for more podcasts and blogs on a variety of topics that are designed to inform and stimulate questions. Thanks for listening.